Morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you'd like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, we have a couple of housekeeping reminders this morning. Since we're still doing our meetings by Zoom. So when you wish to speak, please speak up and identify yourself for the record. Remember to go ahead and mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Those of you that are on the telephone, you could do *6 to unmute yourself. And when you're done speaking, *6 again to remute your microphone. We hold public comment towards the beginning of the meeting and at the end of the meeting. And after every action item, you'll be given time to go ahead and give public comment at that time. We like to limit these comments to 3 minutes, so please go ahead, be concise, and be to the point. I think that'll do it for now. We'll get started. Next up on our agenda this morning is the item number 3. This is discussion for possible action approval of the agenda for August the 18th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make or corrections to today's agenda?
Yes, we have 4 changes we recommend. I'll go through them. We recommend to move number 18, AOACC, to number 21. We recommend to move number 21, Sarah Cycle, to number 18. We recommend moving number 20, Title 17, Zoning Update, to continue that to the September 15th, 2020, Story County Board of County Commissioners. Is improperly labeled in the liquor board. That needs to be moved to the Board of County Commissioners. Please move number 16 to after number 17 to fix that.
If everyone will be patient, we just had a technical glitch here. So if everybody will just stand by for a moment. Take a while to reboot.
Just a second. There you are.
Okay, I think we're live again. We had a little technical glitch here in the courtroom. So, Mr. Osborne, would you repeat the last part of the addition, the corrections we're going to make to today?
Yeah, I'll just start at number 20, Title 17, Zoning Ordinance. We'd like to continue that to September 15, 2020, County Commission meeting. On Zoom. And then number 16 is dealing with cameras for the sheriff's office that need to be removed out of liquor board. How to do that? Just move number 16 to after number 17, and it will be properly placed in the Board of County Commissioner agenda, not the liquor board.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? And you'll notice that I go ahead and delay because sometimes it takes a while for the transmission to get out and come back again. So it might sound like we're slowing things down, but we just need to pause it a little bit when it's like this. So without hearing any public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to go ahead and approve today's agenda with the changes that have been made?
Yes, Chairman. I move to approve the agenda for today with the noted adjustments.
Second your motion.
All right, thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four, discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for July the 21st of 2020. Does anyone have any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for the July 21st, 2020 meeting.
Second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. Item number five is today's consent agenda. Are there any public comments regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
Second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six. This is public comment. You can speak about anything that's not agendized today. Anyone who wishes to speak, please identify yourself for the record and please go ahead and make your comments within the 3-minute range. So we're open for public comment. Hearing no public comment, we'll move on to item number seven. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start off with the Sheriff's Office with Sheriff Antonoro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two quick items. First is the passing of longtime Story County resident Jim Watson. Folks may have known him. He's been involved in real estate for years and years. Heck of a good guy. He's going to be a big loss for our county. And the other thing, just a reminder, with school starting up next week, to have everybody be on the lookout for kids wandering around and school buses, and we'll be out doing extra enforcement in the school zones.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving over to operations over Public Works, Mike Northan. We'll move on over to the library and community chest with Eric Schoen.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Good to see you all, commissioners. Eric Schoen, for the record, of community chest and Story County Library. A couple of updates, mostly related to our youth programs. This is our last week for our summer programs, and knock on wood, we feel like we've had a very successful summer and haven't had any known transmissions of COVID-19 while serving our wee ones below the ages of 5, as well as our elementary students and our middle school students. And that I think primarily, partly is due to some of the protocol that we had in place with masking and social distancing. And folks may know that we basically took over the library, repurposed it as another classroom. We will be continuing that into the fall. So those who hold a Story County library card, all of those resources are still available virtually. For example, the Libby platform where you can download audiobooks and so forth. And that's because we need to use that space to be able to serve as many of you as possible. Now, moving into the fall, we will be continuing to offer our program for young ones, early childhood education. Right now, we can safely accommodate between 15 and 18. There are a number of those who are full-time. Some of those are part-time. When they're part-time, we try to find others who have complementary schedules so we can increase that enrollment. Still have to maintain those social distancing guidelines. For our youth programs, for the elementary students, we will have before and after school programs from Monday through Thursday to complement their being in school all day, Monday through Thursday. And then Fridays, we will have programs for them all day. We have been getting a number of requests from parents to do the same thing for the middle school students. So we are looking at staffing up for that. And I think it's for work schedules so that the parents can know that their kiddos, when they're, because they'll only be at school 2 days a week, when they're done at 3 o'clock, they can come over to our program can be safely looked at after. As well, for the 2 days that they're not in the program, we're looking at trying to provide full-day programming for those students. Again, we'll have space capacity issues. We'll do the best that we can. We are also in the tech center upstairs in the library. We will have that staff with a teacher, credentialed teacher, who can provide support and instruction for the students who are trying to access their online programs that they're doing for school. So they should have access to that to the days that they're not in school. So it's a moving target. As you guys know, there's a lot going on with COVID-19 and trying to figure out the best way to support students and families, but we think we found something that will have some real meaning for those who need the services. So if there's any questions on that, I mean, we have other things going on with other programs, but that's the primary focus right now. Any questions from anybody?
Go ahead. Mr. Carmona, do you have any questions for Eric?
No questions at this time, thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Eric?
No, sir.
Very good. I don't have any questions either, Eric. Thank you. You guys are doing a great job down there. I'm glad that you've got everything up and operational for these kids again. That's terrific.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. All right. Justice of the Peace, Harrington, are you online today? County Assessor, Janice Seddon. County Recorder, Marnie Hansen Martinez.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing today.
Thank you, Marnie. Story County Senior Center, Stacy York.
Nothing today, thank you.
Very good. Our Director of IT, James Dean. Public Works Director, Jason Wurzbecki.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing new to report at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. HR Director, Jeannie Green.
Nothing new to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Hi, good morning, all. Nothing to report today.
Thanks, Dave. Director of Tourism, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Denny Dotson for the record. I just wanted to get a quick update on a little bit of financials for the BCTC. We're very concerned with the obsolete shutdown and the revenue that's associated with that from our tourism tax and lodging specifically. What we use that to market. Unaudited numbers for June 30th of this year, last fiscal year, we had budget revenue of $1.56 million. We actually made a projection in May of $1.56 million. We actually came in at $1.627 million. So the difference of about $64,000 or $65,000 plus on revenue. Expenses, budgeted originally $1.548 million. We made a projection with a lot of cuts that we made early years of some hard decisions. Estimated at $1.348 million. We actually came in even under that a little bit at $1.317 million. So we even cut it an additional $32,000 on our expenses. That gave us a total for the year of just about we projected. In May, it'd be about $200,000 still in reserve with the refund balance. We actually came in at around $310,000. So, some good news there, but what we're really concerned about, obviously, is the fall. We made the hard decision to cancel quite a few events. We're talking to a few more camp promoters this week, a couple of the other ones, and we'll have some updates for everybody this other week on those. But we'll be taking some of that additional resources that we have now, as rainy day funding, if you will. We're putting it through some serious marketing plans that are geared to getting weekend traffic, overnight stays, for folks that can drive miles in the city. So you'll see a lot of billboards down in Reno, you'll see a lot of some radio, several different platforms, you'll see a lot of online stuff, and surfing, if you will. So you're going to see a lot of things that We really haven't done because we've been able to write the codes as a special events to drive traffic without those.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any follow-up questions for Danny?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate the update, though.
You bet. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Danny?
No, thank you.
All right, yeah. Thank you, Danny, and thank you for your fiscal awareness on this. I know it's difficult for all departments to go ahead and cut their budgets, but you guys are doing a terrific job over there. Okay, over at Community Relations, Laura Mather.
Mr. Chairman, it's Joe Curtis. Laura asked me to tell you that she has nothing to bring forward at this time, except for what she's with me with my report.
All right, well, since you're on the line, how about you go ahead with your emergency management, go ahead and report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Yeah, we have some a little bit of encouraging news today in terms of the numbers of cases and so forth that we've seen in McLeod County. Yesterday, they reported was only 5 new cases around the 4-county area, and they were centered in Carson and Lyon. There were none for Douglas, and of course, none for us. And then there was 22 recoveries reported. So we're starting to turn that circle around and have more recoveries and less. At least for yesterday, new cases, excuse me. So the total for the Quad County since March 1st, we've had 886 cases. Of those cases, 732 have recovered, and currently there's 139 that are still active. Throughout the 4-county area, there have been 15 deaths as a result. So it's over the past 5.5 months, or 24.5 weeks, or 171 days, as of yesterday, we've only had 6 cases in Story County. That's, that's a wonderful thing. We're very fortunate that we've been able to accomplish that, whatever the reason it be. A couple of reminders relating to being within 6 feet distance for social distancing. 6 feet distance with a minimum of 15 minutes, then you get the potential for exposure. So keep that in mind. Also related to the events and gatherings, still stands for the governor's directive of 50% gathering of 50% of the fire rating occupancy, or 50 people total, whichever is the lesser number. So, plus practicing and social distancing and masking is still in place. And so the last test site that we ran was last week or so they did August 11th, and we gave 140 tests. There were 2 nurses, 1 representative from Carson City Health and Human Services, 4 paid staff from Story County, and there were 3 posse volunteers. We could have used a couple more persons to make it easier, but we were able to make that work. It was a long day, 3 hours, 140 tests. One of the kudos I'd like to really bring out and make people aware of is that in all the tests, or in all the test sites that we've had to set up, we had help from Story County Chief Posse members. The Chief Posse is a huge help to this process. They set up and take down all of the cones. They assist in the decisions as to how we flow the traffic. They control all the traffic. They unpack the tables and chairs from the trailer and help put them away. They all wear a vest for safety, as do we all, of course. They've always been available, and they show up on time. And are absolutely committed to assist with the training, with the process. Their president, Casey Kelly, has directed their training so as to be an asset to the county, I think. Many of the posse members have also completed the county-required NIMS 100 and 200 level incident command training for being involved with disaster-type incidents. Our next test center will be next Friday, the 28th, at the Lockwood Senior Center from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And those, of course, for non-symptomatic persons from any of the four counties. And their test results hopefully should be back in about 5 to 7 days as a rule. These sites, as I mentioned, take a bare minimum of 10 people and a best scenario of 14 people to actually set them up and do the test and break down. We have to be on site about an hour and a half before the opening time, and then we're usually there an hour after the closing down time. So it takes them four and a half, five hours to put those things together and take them down and get back to town. The people start lining up an hour before the test center generally opens. It's amazing. The people are really participating well with this whole thing. We were concerned initially about, as we went through and held more test centers, that they might get bored with the program and quit showing up, but it's increasing. Every one that we do increases in number. And so I just want to remember that we must do this for the next 2.5 years as we move forward. Now, another thing has come up that is going to put a kind of a little bit more task on us is that flu shot points of distribution in the fall around the county. We've been talking with both the Carson Health and Human Services as well as the folks from the health service that do the flu shots generally at the senior centers. So we're talking with them about doing it at the senior centers or doing it along with these test sites. So we still have to do the two COVID test sites per month in different parts of the county. And when we end up off to the first of the year, hopefully sometime, when we have to do the COVID vaccination system. So we'll be doing those as well with the same setups. And undetermined number of vaccination sites that we would have to do, planning hasn't got that far yet. We've no idea how long this whole COVID matter is going to go on for, but we're working towards and planning and trying to be prepared for the long haul. We've pretty much been able to acquire the equipment that we need to administer these sites. We've got cables, trailers, and we have a trailer, and then we put tables, chairs, paperwork, cones, barricades, that we've acquired and some other things that we need to acquire yet to be able to take care of the process of putting all these together so that the only outside assistance that we would eventually need would be probably one or two nurses to administer the swab site tests and so forth. So we're looking to try to accomplish our own standalone capability with just that one or two outside assistants. These equipment and so forth is being obtained under the CARES Act. And so we're working to deal with that. And Laura, of course, takes care of all of the financial aspects of the CARES Act in the sense that all of the billing and acquiring of the materials and so forth. And so she's pretty swamped with that sort of thing and keeps us all busy. Pretty much this COVID thing since March 1st has been almost 100% of everything emergency management and community services does. There's a little bit of few other things that we've been able to work in, but overall that's pretty much the only thing that we've been doing. And it's in a minimum 8-hour-a-day weeks as a rule. So we thank you all very much. If you have any questions, certainly be able to willing to entertain them.
So Joe, since we're doing two testing sites per month, is the requirement still that we must do 8% of the population on a monthly basis? Is that correct? Oh, or 2%, excuse me?
Yes, it basically is. That requirement's there. We're far exceeding that. We're having no problems dealing with that at all.
Very good. Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any follow-up questions for Joe?
I don't at this time. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any follow-up for Joe? Alrighty. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you all very much and stay safe, folks.
You bet. Okay. We've got our water and sewer projects going on, so all things that are water. Mike Nevin, are you online today? All right, County Fire Marshal, Martin Azevedo. Order Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I don't have anything in addition to the items that are on the agenda later on.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. County Comptroller, Jennifer McCain. County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Nothing significant to report for business as usual, unless you all have questions.
I didn't catch the end of your comment there, Jeff.
Unless you guys have any questions, I don't have anything significant.
All righty. I don't. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the Chief?
I don't.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Chief Nevin?
Good, thank you.
Very good. All right, moving along to Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
I have nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. District Attorney Langer, are you online today? County Manager Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things. We're still working on the $200,000 grant that will be invested into our local small businesses. We're working with the Nevada Association of Counties and also at this point our district attorney's office and our comptroller and our team on putting some of the mechanics of this together and before we roll out a program. We will notice our communities very well when that happens. We are going to have a town hall, an open air one like we did last week in the Highlands on August 13th. It went pretty well. We had a pretty good turnout and we're going to do another one. So it's an open air town hall in Lockwood on August 27th, it'll be from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and this one will occur just outside of the, or just north of the Truckee River Bridge. We just kind of have an area where people can just drive in on their way in from work, stop, ask a few questions of county officials and staff, and be on their way if they wish, or continue asking questions if they wish. We ask people to bring their face masks, but we are doing it outside in this format to reduce crowds and comply with COVID requirements and keep people safe. So once again, August 27th, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock in Lockwood. And then lastly, we are working on further requests of some folks at the last open air workshop is to post our capital improvement plan for the county online. It is posted already in our budget, but we're creating more of a user-friendly, easy-to-understand one that shows in each of our communities all of the county projects and the budgeted amounts for them for this year, and then taking note that we're going to build a continue one in the next budget for a five-year outlook. So that'll be up and running soon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the county manager?
No, I just want to applaud the town halls. I think it's an important time to get out there and communicate with the community. Everybody's been holed up for a while, so it's good to see some county officials out there.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any follow-up questions for Austin?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Very good. County Manager, Vanessa Stevens. Excuse me, County Clerk. Pardon me.
Good morning. Just a quick update on the upcoming general election. It's kind of going to be a different approach this year. It's going to be a hybrid. So every active registered voter in the county will receive a mail-in ballot. Additionally, we will have our normal polling places on election day. So if you don't wish to use that mail-in ballot, you can come into a polling place and vote on a machine as you've done in the past. So we encourage everybody to make sure their voter registration is up to date. And if you have any questions about the process, please contact our office. That's it.
Very good. Thank you, Vanessa. All right, I'll go once more around the room, and if there are any elected officials, department heads, or directors that I've missed, or staff personnel. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8 now. This is the board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona?
I just want to echo what the sheriff said about Jim Watson. There's a lot of institutional knowledge that has gone away with the passing of Jim Watson. And, you know, for those out there, I know their services plan. If the public's allowed to attend, I'll be able to get that information out. But definitely a loss.
Yep. Thank you, Jay. That's very good. All right, before we continue on, I know we've had a couple of new people join the meeting. And those of you who are on the telephone, if you're not familiar with the Zoom process, if you come to public comment and you wish to speak, it's *6 on your phone to unmute your phone. And then when you're done speaking, *6 again to remute your microphone. So thank you. We'll move on now to item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and setting of a date for a public hearing on the proposed amended service plan of the TRI GID. Mr. Loomis, would you like to take this?
Yes. So there are some statutory requirements as to how a service plan will be amended. One of the requirements is that the board set a public hearing, a date for a public hearing to consider the amended service plan, and that's what we're here for today. I believe that and it's going to have to be published and notice put in the newspaper. And so I think that we had considered setting this for the second meeting in September.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay, hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Jay Carmona, move to set the 15th day of September 2020 at the hour of 10:30 a.m. as the date for a public hearing to consider possible approval of an amended service plan for the TRI GID and authorize the clerk to publish notice of the hearing and to notify interested parties of the public hearing.
Very good. Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 10, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the second reading for the general home-based business license for Highland Arms Internet firearm sales. Applicants are Calvin, Pamela, and Jacob Willie, 2538 Cartwright Road, Reno, Nevada, 89521. Sheriff Antonoro, do you just need to speak on this?
Just to let you know, we've looked into the background. They are pending federal firearms license approval contingent on the county granting them a business license. Their business is primarily going to be internet and gun show based. They won't be having a lot of foot traffic at the residence. The applicants are connected with a long-term tree service and with a gun shop in South Reno. So they've got some experience in running businesses and everything. We find nothing that would prohibit them from having this license.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions regarding this application?
No questions, but that's two in the Highlands now. I guess it's a popular neighborhood.
Might be the third one. Commissioner Gilman, did you have any questions for the sheriff?
No questions, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding this the approval of this license? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for general home-based business license for Highland Arms Internet firearm sales. Applicants are Calvin, Pamela, and Jacob Willie, 2538 Cartwright Road, Reno, Nevada, 89521.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for a general home-based business license for Silver State Firearms, 1399 Highland Spur, Virginia City Highlands, Nevada, 89521. Applicants are David Cooley and Tony Midmore. Sheriff Antonoro?
Thank you again. This applicant is pending federal firearms license approval, contingent on the county issuance of a business license. These applicants are primarily going to be manufacturing custom firearms. Nothing in their background that would prohibit them from doing such, provided they get the FFL.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
I do not.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
Sure.
Is there any public comment regarding this approval of this business license? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for general home-based business license for Silver State Firearms, 1399 Highland Spur, DC Highlands, Nevada, 89521. Applicants are David Cooley and Tony Midmore.
Second that motion.
All right, it's been moved in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the second reading for the general business license out of county petroleum distributor Synergy Petroleum, 464 Andrews Street, Suite 1 North, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89081. Austin, help me out with this. I can't find this item in my packet.
This item number 12, right after the one we just did.
It was submitted to the sheriff's office.
Okay. Sheriff Antonoro? There it is.
For whatever reason, back in the day, utilities were given to the sheriff's office, and this is considered a utility. So just for education, they are not going to be having a physical presence in the county, but they are providing goods and services here through local distributors. Their corporate offices are based out of Phoenix, Arizona, and they do have an office in North Las Vegas, but for legal purposes, they need to have a license in Story County. There's nothing that we find with the company that would preclude them from having such a license.
So basically, they're just a jobber. Is that what it is? They don't have a physical presence in the county?
Correct.
Okay. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the sheriff?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, sir?
No, sir.
So any public comment regarding this license? Hearing none, if we go ahead and get Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for the general business license, out of county petroleum distributors, Synergy Petroleum, 464 Andrews Street, Suite 1, North Las Vegas, Nevada, 89081.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the second reading for general business license for Tahoe House Hotel and Bar, 162 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Paul Hoyle, Lark Lane Hospitality. Is this Sheriff Antonoro again?
It is, Chairman. We've completed our background application on this applicant. I've met with the gentleman personally, well situated for taking over this operation. He's got quite a history in the hospitality, specifically in the hotel industry. I think he'll make a good addition to our community.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
Not at this time, Chairman.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
No, sir.
All right. Is there a public comment regarding this license? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yeah. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for general business license for Tahoe House Hotel and Bar, 162 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Paul Boyle, Lark Lane Hospitality.
I second that motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item 14 is where we're going to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board, bringing us up to item number 15, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the second reading for the liquor license for the Tahoe House Hotel and Bar, 162 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicant is Paul Hoyle, Lark Lane Hospitality. Sheriff Antonor.
Again, as applicant, we were just discussing under the general business license. Again, nothing that would preclude him from holding a liquor license. I know I'd said that he had significant history in the hospitality industry, but 20 some odd years, best I can tell, based on the report, and he's been around alcohol, is fully versed with the laws and regulations that apply to them. Nothing that we find that would cause us any concern to preclude them from a license.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. For full disclosure, I, too, hold a liquor license on C Street, not in proximity to the hotel. But, in fact, my voting on this issue, one way or the other, would have no effect on this this person's license any more than it would anyone else's. So, with that said, I'll go ahead and ask, is there any public comment regarding this license again? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for liquor license for Tahoe House Hotel and Bar, 162 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicant is Paul Boyle, Lark Lane Hospitality.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We reversed the order of 16 and 17, so next up is going to be item 17. To recess to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and then come back to item 16, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of a 5-year contract with Lenslok for obtaining body cameras to replace the VIU cameras for a cost of approximately $20,000 per year. Sheriff Antonoro.
As you probably recall, we entered into a contract a number of years ago with VIU for body cameras that were mandated by the legislature for law enforcement. We have about a year, give or take a little bit, on that contract. However, there's been some technical issues. The company VIU has swapped hands. They've sold out to another company. And the problems that we've had with the cameras, keeping them up and running, avail themselves to replacing the system now. To look at that same company, the price goes up significantly if we were to renew a contract with them and upgrade the cameras. So Lenslok, the company that we're looking at now, they have a very reliable product that we've been test driving for the last few months. It's a good, very good price compared to the other cost estimates that we have been given based on conversation with the district attorney's office, Mr. Loomis. It would probably be cheaper to just pay off the remainder of the existing contract with VIU rather than try and get out of that lease because of violations with their failure to uphold their end of the contract. It would cost us more to fight that in court than to just pay it off and move forward with the new contract with a new company. And unfortunately, reality is that we have to have the cameras because the state says we have to.
Right. And I believe that was an unfunded mandate as well, was it not?
Yes, it is a mandate.
I think it was an unfunded mandate from the state, I believe. I don't think they helped out with the cost of these at all, did they?
Well, we do have the option when the law was put into place, we had the option to initiate a surcharge or a tax or something on the telephone system. I think it was 25 cents per line or whatever, something like that that could be used towards the payment of these cameras and everything. The commission at that time opted not to do that. So that is an option moving forward. I don't think anybody wants to pursue any increases of taxes or surcharges, but that's up to you gentlemen to decide.
Right. I believe that was a 911.
It is unfunded.
Yeah, I believe that was a $1 911 charge we could have put on people's bills, but this is a significant increase on this contract as opposed to the last contract we had with ViView. Is that correct?
I'm looking through the papers here. There is a significant increase. However, this is still probably the most cost-effective contract. The company that bought out ViView was quite a bit higher than this, and they would be the second most cost-effective bid. Problem is that where these are being mandated all across the country, we're kind of over a barrel, and all of this is cloud storage and data internet-driven, so they can pretty much get what they want. There's not a whole lot of options out there. The larger companies are buying up the smaller companies. Lenslok has assured us they are not going anywhere. So based on the cost and the product that we can get and the needs of the office through the legislative mandate, this is about our best price.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
I do not.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the Sheriff?
No, sir.
All right, gentlemen. Is there any public comment regarding this new five-year contract with Lenslok?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Mr. Loomis would like to weigh in as far as getting out of the previous contract and entering into this one or not. I know he's looked over all the documentation.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Mr. Loomis, if you want to go right ahead.
Yes, I have looked over the documents. The ViView contract had a provision for termination fee, which went down every year. To the point where I think it got pretty low. We could terminate that contract for breach, but the standards for determining the breach are very vague and hard to administer. And so my advice to the sheriff's office was to go ahead and pay the termination fee, since it isn't that high, because the way that we go about establishing the breach would have been a lot harder. The current contract with Lenslok is a typical contract, very favorable to the to Lenslok. It has a provision that says that Georgia law is going to apply to any dispute, that the venue of any action involving the contract will have to be in San Diego. There is a fairly significant limitation of liability on behalf of Lenslok, which limits their liability, which is not at all unusual in most of these types of contracts. And there's a provision where we'll indemnify them. There's not any provision for indemnifying the county. So it's not the greatest contract, but it's one we probably have to live with.
Yeah, that's right. As the sheriff went ahead and stated, you know, this is an unfunded mandate by the state legislature that we have to do it. And if this is the best price that the sheriff can find out there for the product, then that's what we're going to have to do. So we'll go ahead and open up one more time for public comment on this. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve this five-year contract?
Yes. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the first reading of the Lenslok camera system to replace the current VBU system.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Before I second, I'd just like to ask Sheriff Pantanaro, now that they've used the cameras for a significant amount of time, and I realize that we have to do that for law in the mandate, but how is it working? How does he evaluate the system and the value to the community? I really haven't heard anything from anybody. And sometimes these things aren't as effective as we'd like them to be. Commissioner, I have to second your opinion. They're not as effective as we would like them to be. I was not a fan of them and testified against them at the legislature because they really don't accomplish what they're intended to accomplish. They do provide insights. There's some great evidentiary holdings in them in the event that we wind up going to court on a case. However, these, if you recall, these were implemented because of allegations of police misconduct or shootings, things of that nature, which have not been an issue for us here in Story County. But it's not uncommon if a deputy gets involved with a hands-on scuffle with somebody that the camera gets pulled off their shirt. So you see the sky, you see the ground, whatever way that the camera lands. And then you can sometimes hear what's going on, but you don't necessarily get a good image. If you're chasing someone, it's hard to see what's going on because of the way the camera bounces around and everything. If I had my brothers, we would have a different type of camera based in the patrol vehicle versus being on the body, but we don't have that luxury with the mandate. As far as the technical abilities, they say the camera system that we're replacing seemed to be somewhat lacking. They started out very good, but we found out they were not very durable, whereas these appear to have a much stronger mounting unit and much better controls to keep them on when they need to be on. So there is that. But yes, I agree. They're not all they're cracked up to be, but we're stuck with that until and unless the legislature changes anything. I've rarely seen them roll back and change something in our lives, but if there were a lobbying effort to do that, I hate to waste money on something. And I've been watching the national news and where they have the cameras in all of the communities that they have to have, but they really don't seem to be very effective. And so I agree with you. Thank you for the follow-up, and I will second that motion.
All right. Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. All right. Mr. Osborne, if I've made my notes correctly in here, we're moving on to item number 21 now. Is that correct?
That's correct. So 21 will be Stericycle.
All right. Very good.
Sorry, this is Don McClinton. May I start? Or...
Why don't you hold on a second, okay?
Okay.
This is discussion for possible action. Special use permit 2020-021. Request by the applicant Stericycle Incorporated to construct and operate a medical and other special waste incinerator facility. The project has the potential to provide a generation of excess power, which is considered an electric or gas power generating plant, which is also subject to the special use permit. The subject property is located at 1655 Milan Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. A portion of assessor's parcel number APN 005-111-73. Ms. Canfield?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I may, Lance.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me, Lance. I was going to come to you. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to recuse on this issue as I hold a pecuniary interest in the land that is the subject matter of this action item. So I will join the audience, if I may, and return after the item has been considered. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Ms. Canfield?
Thank you very much. So this application is for a medical waste facility that's located at 1655 Milan Drive within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The project is located within I-2 heavy industrial zoning that also has an IS special industrial overlay. The applicant is not utilizing any of the IS overlay allowances for their project. And the property that is surrounding them also is zoned heavy industrial, the I-2, and also has the IS overlay. The facility itself will be approximately 50,000 square feet, and all the activities will take place within the building. There's no outside storage with the exception of enclosed trucks that would be parked at the site. The applicant is required to obtain air quality permits from the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. NDEP regulates the emission standards and is the permitting agency and authority for the air quality. NDEP permits are required prior to any operations at the facility. This was originally heard at our July 16th Planning Commission meeting and then was continued to the August 6th Planning Commission meeting. At that time, we had discussion of the project. Planning staff had received four items of correspondence in opposition to the project, both at the Planning Commission meetings and since that time. One of those four items is a supplemental document to an original letter that was submitted. All of those items have been forwarded to the board and have been placed on our website. The Planning Commission at the meeting voted 5-1 to recommend approval of the project. We had one person recusing themselves from the discussion of the project, and staff is recommending approval of the project. So I can answer any questions, and I know the applicant's also here to have this short presentation.
All right. Okay, well, first of all, I'll go over to Commissioner Carmona. Do you have any questions for Kathy before we continue on?
No, I'd like to hear what she's going to get said.
All right, very good. So let me get, I don't want to butcher your name, but is it Colada or Dominic?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Colada, okay. So.
All right, thank you very much.
You have the floor.
Good morning, Sheriff McBride, Commissioner Carmona, Commissioner Gilman, the county and members of the community. I'm Dominic Colada, Executive Vice President, Chief Engineer at Stericycle. On behalf of Stericycle, I would like to extend our gratitude to the commissioners for allowing us to present our application for a special use permit and to answer any of your questions. We are pleased to have received, reviewed, and taken into consideration feedback from the community into our changes. I'll start with an overview of what the site will look like once it's fully operational. Next, I'll share a few comments about the incinerators, how they work, their complexities, and the rigorous environmental and safety standards that guide their operation. Finally, I'd like to discuss how we are engaging with the community and our commitment to ongoing participation in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. But first, let me introduce my Stericycle colleagues who have joined me today. While I am ultimately accountable for the development stage of this project, I will eventually hand that accountability torch to Rich Moore, our Executive Vice President of North American Operations. Additionally, we have Dale Rich, our Vice President of Incinerator Operations, Celine Hoboy, Vice President of Government Affairs and Compliance, and Kristen Marshall, Director of Global Plant Engineering. Finally, we enlisted the help of Will Adler to work with various stakeholders in Story County to help us better understand the local concerns. This is an illustration of a proposed site at 1655 Milan Drive, which is zoned for heavy industrial, and as Ms. Campbell cited, was with the IS Special Industrial Zone overlay, along with the same usage as the adjacent neighbors. Our site is a 20-acre parcel, of which we only intend to develop about 5 acres for the facility and necessary parking. It was intentional to leave a sizable buffer zone, which can be seen to the north and to the south of the building to minimize impact on wildlife as well as our neighbors. Our operations will be contained inside the 50,000 square foot facility. The incinerators we intend to build are small in comparison to large municipal solid waste incinerators. For example, the total projected capacity is 3.5 tons per hour, as opposed to municipal facilities, which are much larger and may process 70 tons or more per hour. Additionally, our traffic impact will also be small, as we only plan to receive about 10 to 15 trailers per day and employ about 30 full-time skilled and trained team members at the site. For From an economic impact, the construction phase of the project will support many jobs, with the project spend expected to be approximately $14 million locally, while our ongoing spend should be about $500,000 per year. Once complete, the facility will process certain types of medical waste designated for consideration as a best practice, such as waste pharmaceuticals, trace chemotherapy drugs, pathological waste, which often come from hospitals, universities, special surgical centers, pharmacies, and the like. Stericycle is committed to safety and the environment, and our team continues to drive meaningful improvements. We've implemented a multi-pronged program over the past 18 months that includes a centralized global focus on safety, enhanced training programs, and a shift to behavior-based safety culture. And our commitment starts at the top, as the board of directors added a committee dedicated to operational health and safety to demonstrate how serious safety is to our culture. I also feel compelled to take a moment and discuss the issues raised regarding the Stericycle incinerator facility in Utah and the proposed facilities in Tooele County, Utah, as well as in North Las Vegas. This morning, we submitted a letter that outlined the legal reasons why none of this is relevant to the application, and the fact that under the law, the relevant issue is the use itself, as opposed to any particular user. I ask that the letter be included in the record, but we'll go ahead and respond to the issues regarding these facilities in the spirit of transparency. The violation at North Salt Lake City, mentioned by those opposed to our facility in Story County, occurred 9 years ago, and is the only citation for an emissions violation experienced during the facility's entire history of operation. It's important to share that the local government in Utah rezoned the property adjacent to Stericycle as residential in 2003. Over 10 years later, two Davis County Health District studies in 2014 and 2015 found no adverse effects on public health. The North Salt Lake City facility remains fully operational and compliant, and our operating permit extends to 2022. Keeping the interests of the local residential community in mind, we signed an agreement with the state to relocate our operations to a more suitable location. Regarding Stericycle's decision not to pursue locations in North Las Vegas and Tooele County, those opposing our project suggest we were not sincere in our response that these areas did not have the appropriate infrastructure. While there's no obligation by an applicant to address other facility operations directly in the application process, we understand that there is concern around these facilities, and we'd like to address that here today. These areas did not and still do not have readily available access to water and other utilities. While we acknowledge that there was a recommendation by staff to deny the special use permit in North Las Vegas, we made the determination to withdraw the application prior to a denial or an approval. The fact remained that water and infrastructure was a major obstacle, and it is why we ultimately chose to abandon the project. There were reports about water being expanded to the Apex Industrial Park in North Las Vegas, but the work still has yet to be completed. We obtained the necessary permits for Tooele as well, but with final reviews pending, we withdrew for similar reasons. Looking at infrastructure, logistics, transportation access, and the well-prepared master plan for the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we are confident that Story County is the place that we do want to be now, though. As we've been discussing, incineration facilities are complex, highly regulated, and expensive. This is a flow diagram of the incineration process, and it will be state-of-the-art, utilizing the latest in technology, including a robust air pollution abatement system, and demonstrates the large role emission controls plays. We hold the safety of our future employees, neighbors, and local wildlife in the highest regard. We have heard the concerns about what an incinerator means for the environment, so let me provide some context. We are subject to the stringent federal and state air regulations under the EPA, Hospital, Medical, Infectious Waste Incinerator Regulations. We follow a proven air pollution control process shown here for best-in-class emissions results. Furthermore, this new incinerator within a newly constructed facility will be subject to the most stringent emission standards of any incinerator category. Emissions testing at our operating facilities demonstrates that we are significantly below the allowable limits. We are required to conduct testing in accordance with the EPA. All samples and analysis are administered by a third party and submitted to State Bureau of Air Quality, which is public record. Finally, I'd like to report back on some of our community engagement. We reached out to the American Wild Horse Campaign, and yesterday we held our third meeting with them. We have committed to conducting quarterly meetings as we continue through this process. We think we will be able to make a positive contribution to the safety and well-being of wild horses. We're committed to further supporting these missions and participating with business members of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Additionally, we service a variety of local businesses in Story County, Reno, and surrounding districts, including multiple doctors, offices, labs, international airports, retailers, all branches of the military, federal, state, and local governments, including the Douglas County School District, Washoe County Sheriff, and the Health District. We have ongoing relationships with government agencies that work on initiatives to improve regulations and provide needed services. Among them is the establishment of the DEA programs for controlled substances, for which we partner with the National Safety Council to combat the ongoing opioid epidemic. We're proud to be an industry leader in the medical waste incineration as we protect what matters. I would like to conclude by thanking the county staff for their help through this special use permitting process. We look forward to working with the county public officials and members of the local community as we bring our state-of-the-art facility to Story County. Thank you, Chairman McBride, for the opportunity, and we will gladly answer any questions the commissioners may have.
Great, thank you. I think the first question I might start out with is the planning department, planning commission in North Las Vegas. They're going to recommend a denial of your SUP. What were the findings? What were the negative findings that they didn't want you to go ahead and build in their community?
Well, like I said again, I don't think there were any negative findings. We have a very strong safety record, but I'd like to, just to give any specific facts around that, I know Celine Hoboy had participated in searching out that originally. So, Celine, could you add some color to that? You're on mute. You're on mute, Celine. Can you? If she can't hear, Dale Rich, are you on the call here too? And perhaps you can be heard.
Yes, Chairman McBride and commissioners. Basically, the same public type rhetoric and document that's being brought forth to you now may have influenced their decision-making process. Again, we did not go through an actual hearing. There was no vote. We pulled our application based on lack of infrastructure before those processes played out.
Well, generally, with an agency, if they're going to give a recommendation not to approve something, they have to have findings of fact to approve it or not to approve it. So, you know...
We're not aware of any specific finding or fact. Again, Celine was involved in all this process and wish she had audio, but essentially not aware of a finding of fact other than the same information that you're receiving now.
Right. Well, you know, as you
now?
Yeah, you'll need to speak up a little bit, though.
Okay. Thank you. I will. Thank you, Commissioners, for the opportunity. Sorry if it's echoing for me. Okay, can you guys hear me still?
I can hear you fine, yes.
Okay, perfect. Yes, during the North Las Vegas situation, we actually were originally approved for that facility, in fact. 2 years later, we went back through to get the special use permit again. And during that time, we ran into some other political opposition in the county, and in this North Las Vegas city, rather. And during that period, similar information was brought forward in terms of our history at other facilities and the North Salt Lake situation. And so at that time, as part of their package, they did submit that information as part of their concerns from a safety perspective, and that's why they denied, they moved to deny the permit. However, during that same time period, we also were looking at what was happening in that area in Apex and had made the determination that that facility was not going to be able to fit within our time period and withdrew our application.
Okay, thank you for that. You know, we know that special use permits, by their nature, are inherent to concerns and criticism. That's why they are special use permits, right? I've got a couple of questions for you. You don't have to answer these, but I like to ask them anyway. Has Stericycle, have they purchased the property in which they plan on building the facility on?
We have entered into a contract to purchase that land, if that's the question. Just a little fuzzy on the hearing.
Well, it's either you own it or you don't.
We have entered into a contract to purchase the land. Yet, I believe we have a signed contract.
Okay. Would you mind entertaining us on what you estimate the cost the facility is going to cost? How much you're going to be into it when you build out this facility?
We approximate about $40 million of spend, about $14 million of it to be local. So the planning phase and design is underway as we speak. So when those designs are all finalized, then we'll be able to spec out the actual true cost more specifically.
All right. We like to ask these things. A lot of companies like to brag about how much money they're going to spend in a community when they're moving in. Will this new facility, will it be equipped with new equipment or repurposed equipment from the Utah or other facilities?
The intention is to build this with all new equipment. And Dale, how about I let you just expand on that just a little bit? We're looking to do better and more improved type of technologies that exist today. So, Dale?
Yes, it will be all new equipment, nothing repurposed, and all systems will be based on latest technology advancements, particularly in air pollution control.
Good. Thank you. I ask that because we know that new equipment is usually cleaner and more efficient than the stuff that comes out of another facility. I got a couple of other questions here for you. Will you be utilizing the rules that are put in place by the Treasury Department to take advantage of Story County as an opportunity zone?
Let me turn that one over to Celine, as you've done a lot. She does our public affairs and things of that nature. So, Celine, could you please answer that question?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner, Chairman. We are looking at those opportunities. However, we wanted to get through this process and then be able to look at the next steps, which would be, you know, any other potential options there. So, cool. Thank you for bringing that forward.
Okay. Well, Celine, the next question is going to be directed at you also again. So, will your company, will you be asking the Governor's Office of Economic Development for tax abatements as well?
Yes, we are going to be engaging to look at what economic development opportunities there are within the state. Again, however, at this point in time, we have not planned for those and are fully planning on funding that ourselves, but certainly we'll be looking at those opportunities. I also believe that with the potential equipment that we're proposing as a waste-to-energy facility, there might be some options there as well. So we will be looking at all those opportunities.
Okay. I ask these questions because we like to have businesses, especially, you know, high-tech businesses, move into the industrial park where it doesn't look like your company would have a big impact on the county services out there. But we like to make sure people are paying their fair share if they're going to become a corporate partner with the county. So thank you for that. I'll go over Commissioner Carmona. You're up next.
All right, thank you very much. couple questions on my end. How many employees will be working at this facility once it's up and running?
The plan is to have approximately 30 employees when it's fully utilized and operating. A lot of the new technologies in the world are very automated, and so there's not a huge need for employees, but 30 in the facility. And there will be some coming and going as well that will be transiting through the facility.
Okay. The next one, you know, there's been a lot of talk. I'd like you to simplify it for us if you could. So in terms of what is actually going to come out of that stack, you know, can you compare it so that the folks can get an idea, like, you know, once everything's clean, you know, you guys have incinerated everything, is it equal to the emissions from a diesel truck, or is it, you know, you understand where I'm going with this?
Absolutely. So Dale, let me turn it to Dale Rich. This is very much some of his expertise is running and managing our incinerators for us across the country. So Dale, could you please provide a little bit deeper explanation with that?
Yes, Dominic. Commissioner, the facility is actually considered a minor source under regulation. So the emissions will be fairly low and de minimis. If I had to compare emission from a facility like this, I'd compare it to about 10 trucks driving down the road, diesels, operating on the highway, if that gives you a good feel for emissions impact.
That does. So you stated this was considered like a low impact. What would you consider, or what does the federal government consider a high impact? You know, that way people can get an idea of what type of impact you guys are making on the environment.
Yeah, high impact would be considered very large facilities such as power plants, extremely large manufacturing facilities with enormous emissions potential, stacks, et cetera. We fall under the Title V program by rule, not from an emissions perspective. Our emissions are very low when comparing to what they consider large emissions.
So large emissions, like the power plant that's already in existence out there?
I don't have any specific information on that power plant, but certainly that's a good example of a large emission.
All right. That pretty much does it for me. I do just want to say that, you know, I think the reality is we live in a world where we generate waste that has to get, you know, brought down to the safest levels. I've had cancer twice. I can only imagine the bags of empty chemotherapy treatment that you guys are dealing with. And unfortunately, in today's society, we have to have a place that you know, can get rid of that stuff. So, you know, while obviously we don't want any more pollution, I think this is one of those necessary evils. One question that I did have, which I got the answer to earlier, was that you guys will be doing, like, real-time monitoring of those stacks, for example. So if there was an issue like there was in Utah, what would be the procedure? So let's say, you know, for some reason one of your filters fails. I'm to believe that is being monitored in real time. So can you take us through what would happen if there was a failure on your end?
Yeah, so the emissions themselves will be monitored based on the permit conditions. The permit is going to be based on the Nevada and U.S. EPA regulation for hospital medical infectious waste incinerators. It will be a combination of continuous emissions monitoring equipment, and there will also be what we call site-specific operating parameters that are monitored continuously and recorded. If any events occur, there are safeties built into the facility that actually stop or prevent our operators from continuing to process waste. We go into what's called a lockout condition. And until those parameters are reestablished, the facility can't process any more material. Also, when the facility is constructed, before we're allowed to be fully operational, we will be required to conduct very extensive, what we call initial performance testing. And based on those positive and passing results, all the operating parameters in which that facility was demonstrating during the time of testing, we will have to comply with at all times. So those parameters will all be set based on true performance emission standards. So it'll be a combination of parameters that are being monitored and emissions, real-time emission sampling from the staff, again, based on the final permit. We generally, and again, until the permit is written, we want no specifics, but generally, there's a requirement that we actually self-report this information that is continuously monitored and reported to the regulatory agency responsible for the facility, in this case, the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. That information will be sent in a semi-annual and annual report outlining any deviations, what we call our minimum maximums, a number of technical details around the facility. So essentially, we are self-reporting, violations that we would incur have been reported by us. We are fully transparent. Anytime we have issues with our operations, we report them. We are transparent. If there are issues with processes, we cease operation. We have a number of safeties with our processes to ensure public safety.
Thank you. Lastly, I assume that you guys would work with our Story County Emergency Management Team, just like the other companies out there. If there was an issue, you would notify us, and then we would obviously handle it on our end, whatever we would do to either notify residents or people out of the park. So that pretty much does it for me. I'm done with my questions. So thank you very much for your answers. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Cremona. Maybe after we take some public comment, you might have other questions to follow up with. This question could either be for Mr. Rich or Ms. Hoboy. Since we were talking about oversight here, how many different state and federal oversight departments were you going to have to go ahead and either report to or be overseen by?
Go ahead, Sully.
We're going to take that one, Dominic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for your question. With regards to the different types of regulatory agencies that we're governed by, there's approximately anywhere between 10 to 15. We're still making sure that we're going to look at, what the wastewater discharge might be from this facility. So there may be a POTW permit. We will have to abide by all OSHA, federal and any state OSHA or safety regulations. There's also Department of Transportation. This is the material that's required to meet all the Department of Traffic Hazard Materials Transportation criteria and requirements, as well as the Nevada Bureau of Air Quality. As Dale has already outlined, there's a significant amount of work that's being done currently on the Title V air permit related to this facility, and then we'll be adhering to any additional solid waste requirements from the state as well.
All right.
Other county requirements if needed.
All right. Okay, thank you, Celine. Okay. I don't have any more questions at the moment, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up for public comment. Those of you that are on the phone and aren't familiar with how Zoom works, it's *6 to unmute your phone and then *6 again to remute it. If you'd go ahead and identify yourself for the record and speak up. Please address all your comments to the board and don't direct questions directly to the people here from Stericycle, okay? Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. And who wants to start? Mr. Hendricks has his hand up, I think.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. My name's Greg Hendricks. I'm with American Wildflowers Campaign, the Director of Field Operations. And I just wanted to relay our appreciation with the Stericycle Management Group for their openness and willingness to discuss wild force mitigation impact as it relates to their facility, construction, and impact of operation. We've met a number of times, once in the field and again later on in a meeting, and their openness and consideration of our concerns with mitigation for impact on wild horses is most appreciated, and we thank them and wanted to relay that to the county commissioners as well. We will continue on in our discussions on a quarterly basis, and again, we received a letter of commitment from them toward continued mitigation discussions and some of the content that's already been discussed. In addition, American Wild Horse Connection, who is the NDA cooperator for range, has also been involved in rescue and discussions on that. And again, we thank them very much for that consideration and for their cooperation. It's great to see a company look at these situations prior to their build, so they can build in the appropriate mitigation and corrective actions to basically reduce our impact on wild horses. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your input, Mr. Hendricks. All right, we have Matthew has his hand up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman McBride and Commissioner Carmona, my name is Matthew DeGesti. I'm the Vice President of Government Affairs for Blockchains, LLC. I'm here to speak in opposition to the special use permit requested by Stericycle. Although we have provided you a detailed opposition outlining the legal reasons why Stericycle's S&P does not meet the standards necessary for approval, we would like to focus on a single issue with this public comment, the safety of Story County. More than any other responsibility, it is this body's duty to protect the health and welfare of Story County residents, its businesses, and the thousands of employees that work within very close proximity to Stericycle's proposed biohazardous site. Utah considered the pros and cons of Stericycle's medical waste incineration, and ultimately, Utah said no more. A Native American tribe in Arizona considered the pros and cons of Stericycle's medical waste incineration, and ultimately, the tribe said no more. Oakland considered the pros and cons of Stericycle's medical waste incineration, and ultimately, Oakland said no more. The city of North Las Vegas staff went through the same review process for the Apex Industrial Center, an industrial center just like Trip, and said not here. Contrary to Stericycle's diversions just a few minutes ago, substantial negative findings were made, and they are detailed in the staff report, which is part of the record before this body. This company has bounced around the western United States looking to create one of the most dangerous biohazardous services known to man, and they have been appropriately challenged or denied everywhere they have been. Why? A never-ending track record and culture of failure. Biohazardous pollution emissions, environmental violations, accidents, fines, fraud, taking advantage of employees, lying to customers, resident protests, government agencies shutting down operations, highly organized campaigns from health experts to ban operations, a denial from another Nevada Planning Commission staff at an industrial park, and a stock price that has been steadily declining for the past 5 years. Why? Because this company is harmful, it is dishonest, it routinely breaks the law, and protecting the future of those communities is more important than adding a small yet very dangerous business to a local community. There have been no presentations, no experts provided, no questions from the county or findings from staff about the medical incineration technology or the harmful impacts that will occur when an accident does happen. Remember, Stericycle admitted during the last Planning Commission meeting that there will be more accidents. This technology is not foolproof. This should not be an acceptable risk. It certainly was not for the city of North Las Vegas, Utah, Arizona, or California. What has Stericycle done or said differently that makes Story County an acceptable location? In our opinion, nothing. This commission does not have enough information about the steam incinerator technology or the potential harmful impacts of accidents to make a decision that the residents and businesses of Story County could look at and say the commission fully understood what it was true. And even if this commission had all the information it needed to make an informed decision, we respectfully believe that approving this SUP is not worth sacrificing the future of Story County. We would like to thank you for your time. We ask that you carefully consider our paperwork and vote to deny Stericycle's special use permit application.
Thank you for that, Matthew. Forgot how to turn this thing off. All right. Sam Toll has his hand up.
Thank you, Chairman McBride. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Excellent. As I mentioned, I'd like to echo what Mr. DeGesti just put into comment. I spoke at the Planning Commission in opposition to this special use permit. And, you know, as you all know, I'm a skeptic. I'm skeptical of self-reporting, whether it's mining income for purposes of taxes or the emissions from the proposed facility. My backyard is about as far away from the proposed facility as one can get, but nonetheless, and for fear of being accused of being a NIMBY, not in my backyard, we are in control of what happens within our backyard. And as I mentioned in the Planning Commission, by approving this type of business, we set the bar for other businesses to come in that are, similarly involved in hazardous materials. County Manager Osborne then reminded me or corrected the meeting that, in fact, there's almost a dozen of these types of facilities here in Story County. I think that sets a dangerous precedent. Certainly we should be welcoming to the businesses. I think what's happening at the industrial park is fantastic. I'm very encouraged by the diversity of different businesses that are out there. But this is the kind of business that really just doesn't belong near the folks in Lockwood, with Rainbow Bend, and of course the proposed Painted Rock development that's coming in. So for those reasons, the company does have a checkered past. And one thing I'd like to close on, regardless of how many entities are involved with the oversight, I'd just like to remind folks that Nevada's OSHA division tried to go into Tesla in 2018 with a warrant to try and conduct an investigation within the facility on a dangerous piece of equipment that was injuring employees. And Story County District Attorney Ann Langer turned the deputy with the warrant away. Nevada's OSHA still has not been able to investigate Tesla, and that machine continues to be a danger to employees. So with those things being said and everything else, I would encourage the commissioners to reject this special use permit. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I see Mr. Hilton has his hand up. Philip Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Philip Hilton for the record. Has there been any environmental impact studies done on this? And how about traffic impacts? If we're going to be getting hazardous waste in and out of our area, have we done a study impact on the traffic and the potential of any accidents? I think, as we all well know, that I-80 corridor is prone to accidents, especially more so in the winter. And I would just like to know what kind of impact that would be if a truck got an accident and we would have a spill on our highway.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hilton. Who's next?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Carmona. regarding Phil's question about truck traffic, I think they said 15 trucks a day.
Yeah, and I think that'll be posted. That'll be in the minutes. Yeah, it's 10 to 15 trucks per day. Along those lines too, if there's a hazardous waste, we have a hazmat team we work with Washoe County on this too. So our fire departments are properly trained and equipped to go ahead and handle any type of hazmat accident that could occur, whether it would be this company or anybody else that's going down the I-80 corridor. So okay. Who else would like to speak? All right, I don't see anybody coming forward. So, Commissioner Carmona, what's your take on this? How do you feel about this?
Unless there are other questions or concerns which haven't been addressed, which would cause us to push this off another 2 weeks, I personally feel confident with the answers I've received. There have been some accusations made, which I haven't seen much evidence to support. So therefore, I think they've met all the requirements for the heavy industrial zone that we all agreed to 10 years ago during the master plan amendment. And I'm happy to move forward, like I said, unless there are other constituents that raise some concerns that have not been addressed yet.
I do have confidence in our planning commission and our planning staff as well. Although I do respect the one dissenting vote on the planning commission, because that gentleman's been on the commission for many years and a longtime county resident. But I, like you, Mr. Carmona, I don't see anything that would deter us from going ahead and going forward with their application on this. So with that said, I'd ask Ms. Canfield if you would read findings of fact for a motion to approve this special use permit.
Sure. This approval is for Special Use Permit 2020-021, a request by the applicant, Stericycle, Inc., to construct and operate a medical and other special waste incinerator facility. The project has the potential to provide generation of excess power, which is considered an electric or gas power generating plant, which is also subject to a special use permit. The subject property is located at 1655 Milan Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, a portion of assessor's parcel number APN 005-111-73. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in section 2.E of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The subject property is located within an existing industrial neighborhood in the McCarran area of Story County. The zoning is based on the 1999 Story County zoning ordinance, which identifies the property as I-2 heavy industrial. The proposed facility is defined as a recycling facilities and operations involving use, recovery, or residue of hazardous materials and or waste, and has an incinerator and has the potential to provide an electric or gas power generating plant and requires a special use permit. Granting of the special use permit with the conditions of approval listed in section 4 of this report will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property, in the neighborhood of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The use will also be subject to building and fire plan review in order to ensure compliance with federal, state, and other codes. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, Section 17.37, I-2 Heavy Industrial, and 17.62 Special Uses. Granting of a special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons working in the neighborhood or area of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property improvements in the neighborhood or area of the subject property. Granting of a special use permit would not be incompatible with or detrimental to the surrounding area.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. All right. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the Special Use Permit 2020-021 to construct and operate a medical and other special waste incinerator facility. The project has the potential to provide generation of excess power, which is considered an electric or gas power generating plant, which is also subject to a special use permit. The subject property is located at 1655 Milan Drive, Tower Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, a portion of assessor's parcel number APN 005-111-73.
Good. Thank you. Based on the findings of fact provided to us by the Planning Commission, I'm going to vote in the affirmative on this. So I'm going to second your motion, and it's been a motion and a second. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Mr. Collada, good luck to you and Stericycle and your team. Welcome to Story County, and good luck.
Thank you very much, and we are very happy to be part of the community now.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for attending today. All right, we're going to move along now to item number 19, discussion for possible action, special use permit 2020-026 is a request to allow for construction of a 110-foot high public service communication facility located with the existing Story County Sewer Treatment Plant. The project includes a tower, equipment shelters, and other associated equipment. The tower will be located on the property associated with the Story County Wastewater Treatment Plant at 1001 Six Mile Canyon Road, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and being a portion of Assessor's Parcel Map APN 001-311-04. Ms. Canfield, are you going to handle this also?
Yes, thank you. So, as you mentioned, this is a special use permit for a tower to house public service equipment that's associated with the Virginia City Wastewater Treatment Plant. The treatment plant is on Story County property that was acquired from the Bureau of Land Management, and as such, the land must be used for public service or a recreation use. The tower itself will be approximately 110 foot tall, and it will allow for wireless communications at the sewer treatment plant, along with providing other public service for that area of town that has limited coverage right now. The project is still going through the CompStat Historic District Review. The Planning Commission heard this project at their August 6th meeting. They voted 6-0 to recommend approval. We had one person absent, and no public comments were received either prior to the meeting or at the Planning Commission.
All right, very good. So, a lot less controversial project on here. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Kathy?
Not at this time.
Okay. We'll welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy regarding this thing?
I don't, except I'm applauding that we're improving the communication throughout our county. It's been something that has needed to happen for an extended period of time for the safety and health and welfare of all the folks that live there. So, congratulations. I'm glad we're moving forward on this.
Very good. All right. How about we open up for public comment? Is public comment regarding this tower down by the sewer treatment plant? Hearing none, with that said, then I'd ask Ms. Canfield if you'd go ahead and read the findings of fact for a motion to approve.
All right, thank you. This approval is for special use permit 2020-026 to allow for construction of a 110-foot high public service communication facility associated with the existing Story County Sewer Treatment Plant. The project includes a tower, equipment shelters, and other associated equipment. The tower will be located on property associated with the Story County Wastewater Treatment Plant at 1001 Six Mile Canyon Road, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and being a portion of assessor's parcel number APN 001-311-04. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the public facilities designated area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in section 2.D of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The special use permit complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, the zoning ordinance, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to the official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses, or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The special use permit will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on the adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agencies having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit with the recommended conditions of approval complies with the requirements of Chapter 17.03.150, Special Use Permit, 17.12, General Provisions, and 17.32, Forestry Zone. The proposed project is an accessory use to the existing Story County Sewage Treatment Plant and therefore is consistent with the land acquisition requirements of Patent 27-2014-0006. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. Commissioner Carmona, would you like to entertain a motion to approve this SUP?
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, J. Carmona, move to approve Special Use Permit 2020-026 to allow for the construction of a 110-foot high public service communication facility associated with the existing Story County Sewer Treatment Plant. The project includes a tower, equipment shelters, and other associated equipment. The tower will be located on the property associated with the Story County Wastewater Treatment Plant at 1001 Six Mile Canyon Road, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and being a portion of Assessor's Parcel Number APN 001-311-04.
Very good.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. All right, now we're going to move back to item number 18. This is discussion for possible action. Special Use Permit Amendment 2017-020-A1-2020 by applicant Asia Union Electronic Chemicals, Reno, Incorporated. The applicant requests an amendment to the Special Use Permit Number 217-020 to modify the language associated with conditions of approval C, D, S, T, and double B, which relate to chemical and substance inventory, outdoor loading and unloading, water, fog delusive systems, bulk product loading, unloading, filling stations, training requirements, outdoor chemical storage, security footage storage, and release reporting requirements. The subject property located at 1400 Waltham Way, APN 004-091-081, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Ms. Canfield.
Yes, thank you. So this application is an amendment to the special use permit that was issued to AUECC in September of 2017. They are requesting to modify and amend the language in five of the 33 conditions of approval that were in that original permit. When AUECC first began this process, the special use permit was the first step. And so because this was such a unique business, it got a very detailed review. And that review resulted in very detailed conditions of approval. And what's happened since then is AUECC has gone on to other agencies that have review processes associated with that. And some of our very detailed conditions of approval don't allow for these other agencies to have the flexibility to put in their best practices associated with what they're looking at. So we are recommending that we modify this language to have the language be a little bit more flexible so that they can meet both requirements of these other agencies and our special use permit. We're taking out some of the very specific technical language so that those other agencies' rules can be applicable. And there's no way does any of this change any of the safety requirements for the project. It's just allowing for these other agencies that have more expertise in this to have them have our permits all match. So the applicant is here to give a brief presentation. The Planning Commission didn't receive any comments on the project and voted 7-0 to recommend approval.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. All right. We're ready to hear from the applicant.
If I may share my screen.
You bet. Go right ahead.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to introduce our team. We have Curtis Dove, our CEO, joining us from Colorado. I believe he is on the phone. In the office with me is Jared Kearney, our plant manager. And my name is Danielle Knight. I'm the Environmental Health and Safety Manager here at Asia Union Electronic Chemicals, or AUECC. Just a quick recap of who we are. We are in the business of refining chemistry to a level of ultra-pure chemicals that will be used in the semiconductor, those who manufacture computer chips. We are not manufacturing any chemicals, and with one exception, there are no chemical reactions that occur here. Our process simply involves the filtering, diluting, and distilling industrial-grade chemicals. As Kathy did a fantastic job of highlighting, in September of 2017, our special use permit was the very first permit for us to obtain. And now that we are almost ready to begin production, we want to go back and revise our special use permit to ensure it matches all the other regulatory requirements that we have to abide by. We have come up with a very brief summary of all the different regulations that we have had to be in compliance with. And again, as we move towards production from a two-year construction project, we just want to make sure our special use permit includes all the stipulations that will be needed for us to operate our business. As a couple of examples of the clarifications that we're seeking, in our original special use permit, there was an Exhibit B that listed all of the chemistries that we will be manufacturing or shipping off-site and selling. However, that list, or the language around that list, said that those were the only chemistries that we could have on-site. However, there are several utility-related chemicals that we will be required to have. As a very easy example, diesel is required to run our firewater pump and our backup generator. Also, we run a well for our drinking water, so we have 12.5% sodium hypochlorite for water disinfection. So by the letter of the law, the way our special use permit is written, we would not be able to bring any other chemistries on site needed for day-to-day operations. Another example is there's a section that states forklifts cannot be used to move bulk containers. However, bulk is not defined, and it's customary for us to move 55-gallon drums and bulk, intermediate bulk containers, or IBC totes. Those are commonly moved with forklifts. And then also, as Kathy pointed out, some of the highly technical things were used a broad brushstroke that could be applied, or it could be misconstrued to apply to all of our products. The easiest example would be the water cloth deluge. Of course, that was written for one of our products, but it would not be applicable for everything, as the example we always like to use is sulfuric acid is a class 2 water reactive chemical, and it would not be appropriate for us to use a water fog deluge. So we're just asking to clarify the language to ensure we differentiate what technology applies to what chemical. So in cooperation with all the county departments, we've prepared these for your consideration, And as requested, these have been assessed by a third-party consultant, McGinley & Associates. I believe they're here as well. And we thank you for your time today.
Great. Thank you, Danielle. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions or concerns?
I don't at this time, Chairman.
All right. How about Commissioner Gilman?
No, sir. This is a wonderful company. They've invested millions of dollars in moving forward in this process. And I think it's very proper to be clarifying the special use for language.
Thank you, Lance. All right. How about if we, I don't have any questions for you currently, so why don't we open up for public comment? Okay, I'm not seeing any public comment. With that said, then if there's no objections, I'll ask Kathy to read the findings of fact to approve this amended SUP.
All right. This approval is for Special Use Permit Amendment 2017-020-A1-2020 by applicant Asia Union Electronic Chemicals, Reno, Inc., AUECC. The applicant requests an amendment to Special Use Permit SUP number 2017-020 to modify the language associated with conditions of approval C, D, S, T, and BB, which relate to chemical and substance inventory, outdoor loading and unloading, water, fog, deluge systems, bulk product loading and unloading, filling stations, training requirements, outdoor chemical storage, security footage storage, and release reporting requirements. The subject property is located at 1400 Waltham Way, APM 004-091-81, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. The amended special use permit 2017-020-A1-2020 conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran planning area in which the subject property is located. Granting of the amended special use permit 2017-020-A1-2020, modifying conditions of approval C, D, S, T, and BB, will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property in the neighborhood of the subject property, and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood or area of the subject property. The amended special use permit 2017-020-A1-2020, modifying conditions of approval C, D, S, T, and BB, will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the amended special use permit 2017-020-A1-2020, modifying conditions of approval C, D, S, T, and BB do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the Story County zoning ordinance.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. Commissioner Carmona, if you would entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 5A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, J. Carmona, move to approve Special Use Permit Amendment 2017-020-A1-2020 to modify the language associated with the conditions of approval C, D, S, T, and BB, which relate to the chemical and substance inventory, outdoor loading and unloading, water, fog, deluge systems, bulk product loading and unloading, filling stations, training requirements, outdoor chemical storage, security footage storage, and release reporting requirements. The subject property is located at 1400 Waltham Way, APN number 004-091-81, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion. I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. You're good to go. congratulations on getting your amended SUP, and go forward. Make a lot of money.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Okay, just going to move along now to item number 22, discussion for possible action, approval of business license second readings. And we'll hold off for about 30 seconds while we wait for the noon whistle to make its way. All right, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development Director and Department recommends the approval of second readings A through H for business licenses.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding these business license second readings? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading of business licenses A through E?
H. G,
excuse me. A through G.
H.
H.
A through H.
Hey, it's on the next page. A through H. My apologies, everybody.
I've got it. You're second to motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 23, public comment. We'll take no action on this, so please, anybody who wants to make public comment, please identify yourself for the record. Please speak up, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Hearing no public comment. We'll adjourn. We'll see you September 1st.